This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Look, Ma, no wires.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Clearwire and Sprint Nextel say this morning they want to merge their wireless broadband units. The result will be a $14.5 billion wireless communications company. The joint venture will include investments from big-name cable operators like Comcast and Time Warner. Google and Intel are getting in on this as well. The new company, to be called Clearwire, will focus on high-speed wireless internet for mobile phones and laptops. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding medical research lately. Last month, a well-known journal accused drug giant Merck of ghostwriting papers about Vioxx. Publishing details about who pays for research could help clarify the work's quality. But a study out today finds many scientific journals omit money trail disclosures. The authors say that hurts all of us. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The study from Duke University looked at research published in 2006 on coronary stents, those tiny tubes doctors insert to open up your arteries. It tallied up how often researchers reported their funding sources and any potential conflicts of interest. Turns out that about three-quarters of all the stent papers left that information out. Lead author Kevin Weinfurt was shocked. He says the financials are essential. They help lay people and the scientific community evaluate the research.
Who funds the study and the financial relationships of investigators can sometimes bias how the study is conducted or interpreted.
That's not to say that any of the stent studies are biased. Weinfurt says this just points out that scientific journals and researchers need to adopt uniform rules about reporting financial data. Weinfurt's study was funded in part by the National Institutes of Health. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Oil is above $122 a barrel after hitting yet another high near $123. As analysts try to figure out how crunchy the credit crisis is at this moment, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is showing some optimism. He told the Wall Street Journal in an interview yesterday, financial markets seem to be coming out of the credit crunch. This morning, we may have a sign inflation could be easing. The Labor Department reports worker productivity rose by a better-than-expected amount for the first 3 months of the year while labor pressures eased. Stocks in Europe are up, and it was a mixed bag in Asia today. The Dow is at 13,020 after gaining 51 points yesterday. The Nasdaq added 19 points to 2483. The S&P 500 was up 10 to 1418. Video game publisher Take-Two is up more than $500 million. That's the figure the company says it brought in on global sales of Grand Theft Auto 4 in its first week. Take-Two is facing a takeover offer from rival Electronic Arts.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. By Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value.
U.S. mortgage applications rose the first time in 3 weeks. The Mortgage Bankers Association says the jump was fueled by more people refinancing and looking for home purchase loans as interest rates dropped. And now, ready, set, food fight.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Hey, winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
Food Fight is our look at the global food crisis. Food shortages are causing havoc around the world. Higher food prices are chomping at our wallets. Though for some, the consequences of the crisis haven't been all bad. For instance, certain small farmers in the U.S., their crops are fetching record prices. Land values are up, too. Commentator and farmer Richard Oswald says the salad days have been a long time coming.
I am descended from countless generations of farmers. There is no other job I am better suited to do than this. Other than the biblical command to go forth and multiply, the greatest force in my life has been the instinct to grow food. After 40 years of long hours and lower middle class living, I'm suddenly earning a fair return on labor and investment. That's without government intervention. Now I have money for health care and retirement and for travel. In the last 5 years, my land and crops have more than doubled in value. I've experienced wealth the likes of which I have never seen before. Money seems to flow from my fields in an unending river. But I'm a little frightened. Farms held by the same bloodlines for generations are selling to outside investors or to corporate farms. Liquidation dissolves friendships and families in a sudden surge of riches. Not all boats float on this rising tide. Higher commodity prices have improved my life, but they place a strain on those who must buy the things I grow. Small dairies and livestock farms are already financially stressed as feed costs eclipse profits. Still, high as the prices I receive, the cost of the grain in a single bowl of breakfast cereal is only about 2 cents. All the things I buy, like fertilizer, petroleum, and farm implements, now cost more than ever. Biofuels are blamed for higher food costs, but without that market for my surplus grain, I'd be trapped in a death spiral of rising expenses and negative income. If market prices should suddenly return to what I was paid just 3 short years ago, my lifelong career of feeding the hungry would be cut short by bankruptcy. I continue to farm, even though selling my cornucopia would yield a golden parachute. I have no desire to bail out, now or ever, because no matter how high I may fly, I always return to the earth I love.
Richard Oswald grows corn and soybeans on his farm in northwest Missouri and writes for a website called Daily Yonder. Tomorrow's Food Fight, a look at what happens when a nation goes from self-sufficient food producer to one almost entirely dependent on food from other countries. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.